at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16 this morning. And obviously, it's Remembrance Sunday. And it's great that we're able to remember and come together in this way and just give thanks, if you like, and remember all that has been done for our freedom, those that have given their lives in our place so that we can be here in freedom because of the work that has been done. Just like last weekend, we had a look at this remembering idea. We saw Guy Fawkes. Now, he was a guy who was involved in a conspiracy, as you know, to try and overthrow the government at the time. But we remember this week those that have given lives to ensure our freedom. Their sacrifice and selfless heroism. And I think that is always worth us stopping, pausing, reflecting on. And as we do that, it's a moment, particularly when we hear the trumpet, it's a moment where we're filled with sadness. It pangs. At the heart, you sort of, wow. But also there's a joyful element to it because of the freedom that we have because of their sacrifice. Freedom that they fought so bravely for. And when we remember, I think we're filled with vigour, renewed vigour, and again realise our privileged position that we have here in the United Kingdom. To remember brings to mind all that we have because of what has been done for us. To remember enables us to gain perspective and approach tomorrow with a thankful attitude and a resolute determination. And in our Christian walk, we remember often as we break bread together and we share of the bread and the cup. But remembering every day what God has done for us, I think, sets us off in the right trajectory, a trajectory like no other. And Paul and Timothy here in Philippians chapter 2, where we're going to have a look this morning. Kev's going to change that door over so it stops doing that. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, Paul and Timothy remind the church at Philippi that if they remember, then they will indeed shine. If they remember, they will shine like stars. And I wonder, if I was to ask you a question this morning, do you want to shine like stars? I would hope there'd be a unanimous yes. We want to shine like stars that are out there doing what they do every single night. We don't always see them behind the clouds because we live in the UK. But nevertheless, the stars at night, and we had a clear night last night, did we not? And we saw the frost this morning as a result of that. Winter is definitely upon us, is it not? But we want to shine like these stars. So let's just listen to what Paul and Timothy have to say. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now that as we have read your word, Lord, that you'd bless it to us. Father, that you would open up our hearts and our minds ready to receive what you've got to say to us through it. Father, I pray that you'll speak through me. Father, it'll be your words, not mine. And I pray, Lord God, that we will just know this morning that we've met together in the presence of a living and loving God. Lord, that you bless us today. Father, that you'd encourage us. Father, that you'd speak to us. We ask these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, did you hear in verse 12 and 13, as I read there, let me just read those again. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Listen, he says, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's interesting language, isn't it? It promotes us, I think, or pushes us to think about what Paul is saying here. Because it all sounds a little bit odd when you first read it. It relies heavily on us knowing. And it relies heavily on us remembering what God has done for us. Paul has taught the church at Philippi what Jesus has done. He's shown them, he's taught them, he's elaborated on the word, the Old Testament, and he's shared with them that the Messiah was coming, that Jesus came, that Jesus died in their place, and that Jesus rose again. He shared that good news with them. They know that, they've heard it, much like we here this morning at Hope Church. But the action then that comes after this, as time has gone on, as Paul writes to the church, He's wanting them to think about the weight of what God has done for us. And I think that's a really good thing. Because often, because of just the way that we live our lives, they're so fast all the time. Everything's so quick. We don't have time for anything. We just have time to do what we've got to do. And then we have a list that seems to get longer and longer and longer. Has anybody else got one of those lists? Mine's a DIY list that my wife adds to daily. Which is fine, but I still haven't done the first thing on the list that she set 2 years ago. I know, it's really bad, but that's the reality. It just, the list just continues to grow. And if we're not careful, we flippantly go, Lord, thank you for today. Or we flippantly take for granted all that God has done for us. When we look about all that we have and our family and our friends and the love that we receive on every single day, we flippantly, if we're not careful, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm saying if we're not careful, this could be us, where we just go, yeah, thanks. What Paul's doing here, he's saying to us, look, you need to just grasp in fear and trembling that God would send his only son. God would dress in flesh to take your place and bear the punishment that you deserve. Now, I know I don't deserve that action. I know that I deserve what Christ bore for me. I know that I deserve death because of the sin in my life, the things that separate me from God. But God didn't leave me that way. He gave me an opportunity to come back into a relationship with him through coming down onto planet Earth, dressed in human flesh, and bore upon himself my sin and my shame. Now that's weighty. And I look upon that, we should look upon that this morning. Yes, with thankful hearts, remembering what Christ has done for us. But like, Lord, I don't deserve that. I want to do what I possibly can to say thank you for that. Not out of religious duty, but out of a heart that's compelled because of the love of what Christ has done for me. Amen? That the love of Christ compels us to live for him and to serve him, to put him first in our lives. It's weighty. It's massive. Church, I would argue, till I've got no breath left, there is nothing of more importance on this earth than what we do with that reality. That Christ died for you. That on the cross he dealt with your sin and your shame. It was done with once and for all. And as we know, the author of life cannot be held by the grave. So Christ rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death. So I then am in a position where I can ask the Lord into my heart. I can say sorry for my sin. The cross, Jesus, is enough. And that is weighty to the point where it means that I have life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. not because of anything that I could do or anybody else in here who knows and loves the Lord as their own personal saviour. There is nothing that we could do to achieve that, but that God has freely given. It's by grace you have been saved, as Paul says, not by works so that any man might boast. It is by grace being given what we do not deserve. So then when we read it again, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a reverence that says, God, you have done what is impossible. You have done the impossible for me. I don't deserve that, but you've done it. Why? Because you love me. You've done it because you love me. You love me enough to have given your best. So now I want to do what you've called me to do, Lord. And as Paul has already alluded to here with the church at Philippi, they were obeying the word, not just in his presence, but even in his absence. He was hearing good reports about them. They were doing what the word was calling them to do. They were living as God had called them to live. And because then they're remembering, and Paul is drawing them to remember, they're now in a position with their minds that prompts them, persuades them almost, if you like, that I need to press on for the Lord. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Because I can remember, because I can give thanks for what God's done, because I know what he's done, I can step into tomorrow with that renewed vigour that says, Lord, I know what you have done. I've had a moment of remembrance and thanksgiving, and I step into tomorrow with a joy because of the salvation that I've received through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we remember, we realise. We realise this, as Paul says in 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfil his good purpose. This sort of, it's multifaceted, that verse, because you read it and you go on the outset, well, it's God that's doing that. But it is God that's doing that through the promised Holy Spirit. And as we've accepted Christ as Saviour, we've received the promised Holy Spirit. So God's not saying, right, I've saved you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've accepted the Lord Jesus, your own personal Saviour. Now you're on your own. He's not said that. He said, here's the promised Holy Spirit. And I'm going to help you to live how I've called you to live. Church, that is beyond anything that's on offer. Not only am I going to give you salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to enable you to live how you need to live. Because you won't be able to do it on your own. And he didn't want to leave us in that way, flailing around, hopelessly wandering. But rather, he sent the promised Holy Spirit to help us and to enable us to live for him. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And it also comes with an acknowledgement that God knows best. It comes with an acknowledgement that says, God, you know what's best for my life. You know what makes me tick. You know what makes me happy. You know the things that I get upset about. You know what makes me work the best. You know what I'm enthusiastic about. And God uses all of that to fulfill his good purpose. What a joy that is. It's beyond anything that you could ever think about, that you could ever possibly receive. Free. It is a free gift. It has been given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you have to do is accept it. And what a joy. And there's weight and there's meat to it, and it involves all of our mindset going, wow, God, what have you done? It's almost too much for me to handle. But it takes us to the next stage, which says, Lord, I am so thankful for what you've done. Help me to live like I need to live for you. Father, help me, encourage me, move me forward, spur me to look on to your word, to learn and to grow and to crave the meat to the bones, to just soak it up so that I can do, Lord, what you've called me to do. But it's our heart's position, isn't it, that determines this work. Am I allowing God space? And that's not just on me. Are you allowing God space? Space to work in your life. Space to enable you to thrive with the way that God has called you to live, to His purpose and to His will. Are we allowing God in the driver's seat? Are we allowing God to take charge? Is He my number one? Am I going to Him before I make decisions? Are we going to Him? Or am I attempting to set my own path? Are they my plans? Or are we allowing God to work out His plans and His purposes in our lives? And church, that's a challenge for us this morning. We have to remember we're joyful that He's not left us on our own. And now we also look forward and we say, God, because of what I've remembered, because I know that I have the promised Holy Spirit as I accepted Christ as my own personal Saviour, now there's something I need to do. There's an action that goes with this life that I've been freely given, that I want to serve the Lord. I want to spend time in His Word. I want to worship Him. I want to lift high His name. I want to be known as Matt the Christian. That's fine by me. We want to be known by who we are, amen? So then we say, Lord, okay, help me in that. Help my heart's position to put You first. Because I think only verse 14 only happens if we've done these things, if we've remembered our position, if we've remembered our blessing, if we've remembered our joy in and through Christ our Saviour. Because listen to verse 14, and I would argue as well for quite a while that this is quite impossible. Are you ready? Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now I do like a heated discussion. I just thrive off it every now and again. Not an argument. Oh no, because I'm right. We're not arguing. You see what I've done? I know that's the problem. That is an issue. But he's saying here, do everything without grumbling or arguing. What? Everything. Because that sounds crackers. I mean everything. Even when that person in front of you is clearly rude and has pushed in. Don't we love to queue in this country? Mm. My word. If there isn't a queue, I'm disappointed. All right, just me. But Paul here is saying, do everything without grumbling or arguing. And that, I think, that verse, if you were to just pick out that verse and try and preach on that, you'd be like, that's impossible, Lord. Paul, what you're saying there is impossible. But we've had the first part. We've had the first part. We've had the remembering. We've had the putting in first. We've had the realization that we have the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I'm actually, well, if I think about it, it's a Philippians 4:13 moment. Which says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I can't do that on my own. I have to know what I have. I have to know whose I am. I have to know who I am to enable me to be able to do that. Because I can't do that on my own. Because I want to grumble and I want to argue. And it's all a bit early and I'm still a bit tired. And they didn't smile at me. And they didn't ask me how I was. And I'm going to take offence. Because if we're not careful, we place God to one side and we say, this is easier. It's easier to argue. It's easier to grumble. I'd just rather be upset about it. Not joyful. Certainly not happy. I'd rather moan. This is not a confession, by the way. I'm in the third person here. But God, Paul is reminding us here, as the Lord illuminates his heart to talk to the church at Philippi and to us here today, that we're able to do this, we're able to live like this because of all that we've already seen and the fact that just a few verses on, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I know I can do this. Why? Because God has a plan. His plans and his purposes are not for me to argue and moan. I'd get an A star in that. That's not his purpose and his plan for me. His purpose and his plan for you and me are set in motion. That he wants us to be joyful, to know what we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that we're saved, redeemed, set free because of what Christ has done, to be fully aware that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Down home, if you remember, from Bible study a few weeks ago, katakoia, to put his feet up in my heart because he's so comfortable. Oh, is that not our prayer? That the Holy Spirit is so comfortable in our lives that he's got his joggers on and his feet up. Yeah? That should motivate us and say, Lord, I want to be in that position. And I can only do this because of what you have done for me. I can only do this if I look and I remember and I give thanks, because I can only do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. I know because you have a plan. I can do it because you have set my purpose in motion. And these things are being fulfilled as he's guiding, as he's leading, because he, God willing, church, is in control. And the church said, amen. A third of the church said, because he is in control. And when we do all of that, it doesn't stop there. When we do all of that, we get verse 15 and 16. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Wow, as we hold firmly to the word of life. And Paul then goes on to say about this church here. And then I, as in Paul, will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. Paul's work wasn't in vain. He showed them, he taught them, he helped them to see, much like he's doing for us this morning as the word, as God is working through his word, that we're encouraged to do what God has called us to do, to shine like stars in a warped and crooked world. That we are his, that people can see that we are his. That people are excited when we're about, because God willing, we're nice people. We smile, we love, we care. That's who we are. And if I have to use words, I'll share the gospel with you. Do you get that? That by the way that we live, the way that we behave, that people can see Christ in us. Amen. Is that not our prayer? That I want people to see. I want people to know that Matt has spent time remembering. Matt has spent time understanding and knowing who he is because of what Christ has done. And that we then as the church are just enthused by the fact that we are saved and we're redeemed. We've been set free from the old order of things. And one day I will see my Saviour face to face. And I have a joy in my heart. Hopefully it's on my face, even tomorrow morning, Lord. I hate Mondays, but I'm going to step into it with a smile on my face because I know that my Saviour has won. Amen? And that's what happens when we remember. That's what happens when we know. That's what happens when we bring it all to mind, that we can declare that our Father is in control. We can behave like we are called to behave. We can stand out for the good. We can stand strong in adversity. But we don't just stand all battered and bruised. But rather, as Paul is saying here, we'll shine like stars. So that the word can see, the world can see the word in us. They can see the truth. We desire to shine. We want to be effective, to be more effective, amen? To show love and care. And if that's what our heart's desire is, then it absolutely starts with this. It starts with the heart. It starts with remembering and knowing. It remembers our position. It remembers our promises through the Lord Jesus Christ that are yes and amen. It starts with the joy that then overflows from our lives because of all that we are because of him. And that church, I am absolutely confident of, will have an effect on the world around about us. So let's remember, but let's press on, allowing God to work in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again this morning for your word, Father, for its blessing and its encouragement. And we ask, Lord God, that as we step into a new week in front of us, Lord, that you would just be with us, that you would encourage us. Lord, that you'd speak to us through your word. And Father, that we would know that we are saved, redeemed, set free. Father, that we would know that you love us, that you care for us, that you want the best for us. And Father, that we would put your plan and your purpose the first in our lives. Father, that we wouldn't look to what our own desires and our own motives are, but Lord God, that we would put you first. Knowing, Lord God, that you know best. Knowing that you're in control. So Father, this morning we remember, we give thanks, and we lift high the name of Jesus together. And the church said, amen.